All right, the next case, and we'll wait till everybody's settled here, but Hansmeier versus Hansmeier. All right, you may approach it. Again, this is Hansmeier versus Hansmeier. Thank you.
May it please the court, thank you for hearing our case this afternoon. My name is Brock Worrell. I am attorney for the appellant in this case, Scott and Carrie Hansmeier. We're here today requesting that this court reverse and remand the district court's decision on summary judgment against my client. To get into a little bit of a brief summary of the facts here, Mr. and Mrs. Hansmeier, I guess let me clarify this. When I refer to Mr. and Mrs. Hansmeier as the appellants, Ms. Hansmeier is also the appellee. And so it's different. Ms. Hansmeier, who's the insurance agent in this case.
Scott, Kara, and Merva.
What's that?
Scott, Kara, Carrie, and Merva?
Yes.
Maybe that's the best way to...
I'll go with that. That's a great suggestion. Thank you. So Scott Hansmeier handled most of his family's insurance matters, also had a farming operation. Merva Hansmeier was the insurance agent and handled all of their business. If you look through the record, there's no dispute about that. Scott, in the record, you will see at Exhibit 4, page 15, and I reference this in the brief. It's transcript of Merva's deposition where I talk with her about her conversations with Scott Hansmeier prior to the a workers' compensation incident that occurred. And she tells me in there that she had a conversation with him about workers' compensation insurance, that he suggested, or he asked her, I don't need to have that by law, do I? She said, no, you don't, and she left it at that. She neglected to mention that if he's not, as an agricultural employer, going to have workers' compensation insurance for his employees under 48106 sub 7, he needs to have them sign a notice that they're aware of this.
Okay, why is that her responsibility?
Well, as a professional, as an insurance agent, as a professional.
She's not a lawyer, right?
She's not a lawyer.
She's an insurance agent.
She's an insurance agent, that is correct.
But your expectation is that she should have notified your client of this statute.
My expectation is that she would notify her client of how to properly protect himself with regard to his insurance needs. And in part of doing that, by telling him, oh no, you don't need to have insurance coverage.
She confirmed what he knew was that he didn't have to have insurance coverage.
He was asking her, I don't need to have that by law, do I? This is from
and
her
she
testimony.
Agreed with him.
She said, no, you don't. But
so wasn't she just agreeing with your client? She didn't represent anything beyond that. She simply agreed with your client.
She agreed with her client, but she also left off a material piece of information that was detrimental to her client.
That's kind of the key issue here then, right? Is did she have some kind of affirmative duty to tell your client about this statute?
I think that's a key issue in the case, absolutely. I think for the purposes of today's hearing, a major key issue is whether this is a summary judgment issue or whether this is an issue that should be tried to the jury.
Well, let's try and get our hands wrapped around what the law is on it in terms of whether there's a duty for an insurance agent to advise of a statute like this and what authority, because I don't recall, I don't know that you cite any authority in your brief that actually says that's the case.
I believe the Flame mm-hmm. case, 239 Nebraska 465, states that if an insurance agent or broker undertakes to advise an insured, the agent or broker must use reasonable care to provide accurate information. And I don't believe she provided accurate information here. She provided partial information, but not a complete actual accurate information by leaving off a portion of the what would have been proper advice. And in the brief, I reference liken it to.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let's assume she had said to him, oh, and by the way, since you're not going to cover it, you have to present this notice or waiver, whatever you want to call it, and have him sign it. What difference would that have made here?
Well, the difference that it would have made is, assuming the injury still would have happened, workers' compensation injury, The difference is that he would not have been covered under the Workers' Compensation Act and been subject to it because he did not get that notice signed because he was not notified of it by his agent, who he trusted with the insurance means. He didn't have that signed, which included his operation under the Workers' Compensation Act.
So you're saying it made your client legally responsible, but there was an insurance to pay for it. Is that
correct?
That's your position?
Yeah, correct.
I just want to back up one second. When you're telling us that the insurance agent is a professional, has our court or the Nebraska Supreme Court made that finding that an insurance agent is a professional, like an accountant or a lawyer or an engineer?
I believe so, and I don't have a case right in front of me that I'm going to be able to cite to you that states that, but I believe so. Even so, the Flame case that I referenced earlier, terms of the states that the insurance agent or broker must use reasonable care to provide, and if she's providing this information, to provide accurate information, and if she's providing advice, which essentially is what this amounts to, when he asks her a question, as his insurance professional, he's seeking her advice, she gives him inaccurate information by not completing the information.
Is there any evidence, though, that she knew that she knew about that request?
She testified in that same deposition that she had kept up on, attended continuing education seminars and had kept up on things. That went into effect, that requirement went into effect for the notice in 2003, I believe it was, by the Nebraska legislature, following the DB Feedyards case. And so it had been in place for 9 years. She's been an insurance agent for well more than that. I can't remember offhand how many years.
But what you're arguing here is basically a simple negligence theory. But going back to Judge Pirtle's question, it sounds a lot like you're saying this is some kind of malpractice. And I'm not sure there's a case out there that creates that.
Well, I think under either standard, whether it's the negligence or the professional malpractice, what we've got here is a summary judgment ruling by the trial court that where there are material issues of fact that are in dispute.
What are those issues based on the record that we have?
Well, the court, as you know, the court's to look at the facts in the light most favorable to the non-moving party, which is us, which is the appellant. And it's her statement saying that she had this conversation with him, that they talked about workers' compensation coverage, that she gave him partial information but not complete information. Opposing counsel had argued this at the summary judgment stage as an anticipation of coverage case, which when you look through those cases cited by Appellee, those are cases where someone had not talked at all with their agent about a specific coverage, or there was no conversation about, oh, I've got this business also. Somebody goes in and insures two vehicles, but they don't talk about a third vehicle.
But what specific facts in this case you're saying, what she says about the conversation she had is in dispute?
Well, I'm saying that she says, I had this conversation about workers' compensation insurance with Scott Hansmeier.
And he agrees they had a conversation about workers' compensation insurance.
He doesn't recall the conversation.
Well, he did and he didn't.
Yeah. But she's saying the defendant here, or Appley here, is saying we had this conversation about workers' compensation insurance. Here's what I told him. And she's telling us, I gave him this first half of the information. What I didn't tell him was the back end of this, that if he wasn't going to have it, he needed to have this
She said she didn't know that either, right?
Correct. But I believe she should have known that, given her
and
experience.
And that's the issue.
No, go ahead and finish.
No, so that's the issue, though, is should she have known? Not that there are facts in dispute, mm-hmm. really. There don't appear to be any real facts in dispute. It's whether she should have known to tell him that, right?
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. And I don't believe that's an issue that should be decided on summary judgment when looking at the facts in the light most favorable to.
Well, it's a legal issue then, though, and it could be decided if the facts aren't in dispute.
But the trial court held it off, held this out as an anticipation of coverage issue, and that's the positioning of the trial court.
So if I go into my insurance agent and we talk about auto, homeowners, that kind of stuff, and I leave, and the agent did not bring up to me any discussion about a personal liability umbrella, is that negligence on that agent's part?
I think that that's a different situation than what we have here. If you go in and request certain things,
you can finish.
Okay, thank you. I think if you're going in and saying, hey, I need auto coverage, I need homeowners coverage, those are the things that I want, and he says, great, we can do that, plugs it up on the computer, whatever he does, finds the policy, and you're set, then no, I don't think you do. In this case, where they had a specific conversation about workers' compensation insurance, she gave him partial information that left off the waiver, the notice waiver that he needed in order to make his statement and her statement true. I think there's negligence there, and I think that's something that at least ought to be tried to a jury as opposed to decided on summary judgment.
She also apparently indicated that in that discussion at some point, he declined the workers' compensation coverage, indicating it was too expensive. Was there a dispute as to that?
I don't recall as to whether there was a dispute as to that. As I said, I think the critical issue here is that she gave partial, not complete information, which makes it inaccurate information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much did we take appellant over? Can you add that to the appellee's time, please?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Sean Minahan. I here represent Merva Hansmeyer and her insurance company, Western Insurers. I don't have the title in front of me, but Mr. Rule made some interesting points. However, the Nebraska Supreme Court and this court specifically has kind of set the baseline on these insurance agents' types of claims. And I'm just going to quote Polsky v. Powers here, that absent evidence, the agent agreed to give advice, or the insured was led to believe he would get advice, the failure to volunteer information does not constitute negligence or breach of contract. Now, appellant, taking a step back here, appellant tries to create an issue of fact with these different recollections of the conversation. Mr. Hansmeyer, or Scott Hansmeyer, doesn't remember these conversations specifically. Merva does. But the issue, as this court has already stated, isn't that they dispute remembering these conversations. It's the issue of taking all the evidence in favor of the appellant. Is there still a genuine issue of material fact? In this case, there is. There's no issue of material fact whether Merva negligently breached a contract or duty to Scott, or negligently misrepresented the coverage of Scott Hansmeyer's farm policy or the workers' comp policy. Applying Polsky, there's no evidence that Merva agreed to advise Scott regarding his workers' comp. There's no evidence that Merva agreed to advise Scott regarding workers' comp regulations, statutes, or rules, or how those regulations, statutes, or rules apply to his business. The only evidence which is most beneficial to the appellant is that Merva merely offered to obtain workers' compensation for Scott, which he declined. She didn't advise him or offer to advise him as to the ins and outs of such coverage, or when he declined, decided to say, well, hold on, you do know this, or you need to know this. She didn't offer that type of advice. Same testimony also proves that Scott said specifically refused this coverage, that he knew he didn't have to carry it under the law, and that it was too expensive. And in response to that, Merva just merely agreed with it. The testimony does not prove that Merva agreed to advise Scott on how to protect himself in regard to declining workers' compensation coverage. Second, applying Polsky's second aspect, that there's no evidence that Scott was led to believe he would get advice on workers' comp. The best case scenario here is that Merva said, I had a conversation with him about workers' comp. And then Scott comes around and says, I don't remember any specifics about that workers' comp conversation.
Well, it's kind of, it's an interesting issue, which is why you're here. But so if an insured is requesting information about workers' compensation insurance, and in this case in an ag-based industry, she would need to know enough about whether or not that employer needed to provide work comp insurance, correct? I mean, she would have to have enough knowledge to say, well, if you have under 10 employees, then you don't have to have it, right?
Well, and I believe in this case, I think the record shows that she agreed with Scott that he did not have to have it pursuant to the law.
And so given that she should know that, should she not know it all, as opposing counsel saying, she kind of gave information in part and not in full.
Right.
Why should we not have an expectation that she give complete information?
And that's the second part of my argument here, Your Honor, is that what appellant tries to do is he tries to flip this once he can't apply Polsky into kind of a negligent misrepresentation under the Flame case. He tries to do it by negligent misrepresentation by omission, basically. But under Hobbs v. Midwest, there is no negligent misrepresentation by omission in regard to insurance agents. Specifically, Hobbs v. Midwest states that the claimant has to prove that he or she was provided false information, not omitted information. And in the Flame case, that's exactly what happened. The insured comes in, asks about the underinsured policy, says, hey, am I covered? And the insurance agent, allegedly, according to the record in that case, said, yes, you are covered pursuant to this provision. He provided an active representation of a provision of the insurance policy. In this case, that's not what happened. Merva merely agreed with Scott's own interpretation of the statute. Furthermore, under Hobbs, it has to be provided false information. Merva didn't provide any false information. She agreed with the statute that he was not required to carry workers' comp, and that's true. He wasn't required to carry it. Second part about any negligent misrepresentation claim, and this is just as important as the first, is that the claimant has to prove that he or she relied upon that representation. Scott Hansmeier testified in numerous accounts, I don't remember any specific conversations regarding workers' comp. How can he maintain a negligent misrepresentation claim if he can't remember relying upon any representation made by Merva Hansmeier in regard to workers' comp? He can't do it. So as a matter of law, he can't maintain the negligent misrepresentation
claim. I want to take you back to just the negligence claim and talk about duty for a second. The fact that your client is a family relative, does that have any impact one way or the other on the issue of duty in this case?
I don't believe so. I think in this type of case that she is acting as an agent to him in a business setting, and the family relationship should have no impact. I don't know if there would be any type of, I've looked at it, if there's any type of ethical boundary line there in regard to insurance agents. I don't see that. But what I want to do is I want to cut to the chase here. And what appellant's really asking you, and the court, I think, hit on this, is that appellant's trying to create an expanded duty for insurance agents to their insured by creating this professional judgment rule. And in this case, that professional judgment would be a duty to warn. And Mr. Rowe, in his briefing, goes so far as to compare the current situation to an attorney advising his client as to when they should file a lawsuit. But the attorney analogy misses the point here. First of all, Merva never instructed Scott Hansmeier to forego workers' compensation insurance because he wasn't required to keep it. In that particular sense, there would be Mr. Scott relying upon Merva's representation that, here, I'm not going to take this because she told me not to take this because I didn't have to. In that particular case, then yeah, it would make sense that she would have to say or have to follow up with, you don't have to take this, you don't have to carry it, because you're not required to, but guess what? You need to do this to protect yourself. That's not what happened here. Representation here was only that, you're right, Scott, you're not required to carry workers' comp under the law. Second, and this was touched on by the court as well, Merva is not a professional under Nebraska law. I don't have a case cited in my briefing, and I don't have one in front of me today. In 16 years of practicing and defending insurance agents, I can tell you straightforward that insurance agents are not considered professionals. They are not held to a professional standard of care. You do not need to bring in an expert insurance agent to prove your claim against an insurance agent. And most importantly, and this has been cited, in, I believe, by the Supreme Court, MERV is not protected under the professional negligence statute of limitations. Now, if there's going to be an expanded professional judgment rule, then an insurance agent would be considered a professional, would be protected by the professional negligence statute of limitations, which is 2 years. And this claim was filed after that 2-year period. Most importantly, this court in Rath v. State Farm, and it's not cited in my briefing because I kind of just came across it, came out in 2015, refused to create this professional judgment rule for insurance agents. So while Merva knew Scott had employees, there's no professional judgment rule requiring Merva to advise Scott regarding statutes and regulations that govern his business. And in fact, workers' compensation statute that applied to this case is not a statute which governs the insurance industry. It's a statute which governs employers like Scott, who are accountable to know the regulations, rules, and statutes which govern the businesses of which they own and upon which they employ people. Finally, and that comes to the last, Scott knew he didn't need workers' compensation. He came in and told Merva, I don't need workers' compensation. Merva had every right to anticipate at that point in time that he told me he doesn't need it. He must know the law. Scott also knew that his harm liability policy did not cover his employees. Mike Hebel had 2 prior injuries before this one at issue. And the first one Scott paid for out of pocket. The second one Mike Hebel paid for. So he knew his own liability and policy didn't cover it. The appellant tries to drive this court away from the fact, the Dahlke v. Zimmer holding, that agents has no duty to anticipate what coverage an insured should have. Tries to argue this is a failure to warn case, professional duty to anticipate and to protect their insured. But what the district court did here, and we're going to ask this court to affirm that decision, was just extrapolate the decision of Dahlke, the decision of Polsky, and all the other decisions which set out the duty of insurance agents. And I couldn't find any other verbiage other than what the district court said. It said it the best. So to end here, I'm just going to quote it. If it is an unreasonable burden to require insurance agents to anticipate what coverage an individual should have, absent the insured's request, it would be an equally unreasonable burden to require an insurance agent to anticipate what steps the insured should take to not have the coverage he has already told the agent he does not want. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe we're out of time. Yes, thank you. The matter is submitted. Thank you for coming here today.